last week a mix up on the date and time for Mother's Day. So we are back trying to make amends. Make amends. But if all that I hear, all I know about mothers, you are about the most forgiving group there is. And I know you want to keep that reputation. So you're going to forgive us. We will make the necessary amends. It seems as if I can hear Ella Landry over there about now hollering, bam. And we know it's going to be all right. So we want to celebrate Mother's Day. We want to celebrate motherhood. Mother is not necessarily an individual that has to give birth, because other individuals have filled the role of nurturing, rearing children, and in some instances, more endearing to many individuals than their biological mothers. So we want to celebrate motherhood, which is all inclusive. And as we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again to appear in your holy presence as we delve into your word to see what you have done in behalf of mothers. We pray that you open our hearts and minds and our understanding to the truths that are found therein. In Jesus' name we pray. We have many quotes that have been given by many different people regarding mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am and all I hope to be, I owe to my mother. And we could go down the list. But our subject today is godly mothers or superwomen. The fictional character Superman, dressed up with his cape and his suit with a big S in the middle of his chest. That S stands for super, Superman. And as we go to the Bible, we look and we see in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs that has reference to godly women, godly wives, godly mothers. As we look and see what is written there, we find that it takes a superwoman to do all of the duties and responsibility that are poured out there. But first of all, we would like for you to consider that godly mothers are super servants. What are they? Super servants. Now, there's a difference in doing something because you got to, or you feel that you're obligated to. There is a difference in doing it because you want to. Mothers play many different roles. They are chauffeurs, they are cooks, they are housewives, they are maids, and they perform all of those duties and functions not out of necessity, but because they really want to make the family happy. And so they have a heart of a servant. Jesus said that I come not to serve, to be served, but I came to serve. Now, God created mothers that we might have a better idea of what God is like. As there is the feminine attributes of God. You know, normally we think of God as being one of stern character, exacting, and you don't play with me. But there's a tender side to God. And that's the part that reflects the women and the mothers. And so as we look and at our mothers and we see the tenderness in their boys, and we see the great love that they have for the family and the children, someone has said that mother is the name that little children ascribe to God, because they recognize they can trust mother. They can go to her with anything. Now, God has instilled within mother the willingness to sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to sacrifice his life that you and I might live. I read a story about a lady called Elizabeth. Elizabeth was childless, and she had contracted some form of cancer. She was told that she could not have children. But as time passed, she went to the doctor for treatment, and she found out that she was pregnant. The doctor told her, you can abort the child, and the chances are you could continue on with your life after going through chemotherapy and the other things, radiation and all of this. She said, but you can't wait too long. And so she made the decision to her, which was not a decision to make. I'm going to carry this baby. She carried the baby until about time for the baby to come. And finally, the baby came. She was willing to sacrifice her life for the baby. Isn't that just like Jesus? I say to you once again that godly mothers are superwomen. She made the sacrifice to bring forth the child. She sacrificed her life because about 2 months after the baby was delivered, she passed away. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man should do what? Lay down his life for his friends. But not just friends. Jesus wasn't just dealing with friends. He died for us while we were yet sinners. So we can see what was instilled in the mother was a reflection of the character of God. We normally refer to the ladies as being the weaker vessels. That's not really true. Because you'll find that the ladies are stronger than we give them credit for. And I'm talking about physical strength. I read a story where mother was in an accident, and the car flipped over several times, and the child was pinned underneath the car. She crawled out of the vehicle and went and saw the child down there, and everybody was gathered around trying to, wondering how they're going to get the child from under the car. That lady stooped down and picked up that car, raised that car up enough for that child to get from under. Strong women. Godly mothers are superwomen. She lifted that vehicle. But they're not just strong in a physical sense. That strength manifests itself in different ways. Strong in faith. They have a strong belief in the child's ability to perform and to excel. And so hence they would instill within the children or the child the ability to have confidence in themselves, strong faith, strong love. They have the strength to hold the family together. We find, fourthly, that godly mothers have a sincerity about themselves. They do not put up any pretense. They are genuine through and through. And if you really want to know the truth about yourself, talk to your mother. I can remember in my own experience when my mother used to call, tell me, generally at the breakfast table, sit down, I need to talk to you. I said, oh. No pretense. You're going to have to cut out that rascality you get me. I know most of you don't know what that's all about. But they were always having our best interest in heart to let us know exactly what we were like. And that's what, isn't that just like God? No pretense. Tell it like a T-I-S. Huh? Yeah. And that mothers are that way. And they have a tendency to see us as God sees us. Huh? You can go around that fake Jake and all you want, but mother look at you, she know what you do. And she's a godly mother, she's gonna tell it just like it is. Now what you do about it after that is a horse of a different color. The next thing that I'd like to point out regarding the godly mothers that are super women, they like things to be special. They know how to make things special. As we look at Jesus' mother, it was a special occasion of a wedding. They ran out of wine. Because she liked things to be special and wanted it to be a special occasion, he went to Jesus and said, they'd have no more wine. And Jesus said, look, it's not time for that. Not my time. But because of his mother, he knew his mother wanted things to be special. Jesus consented. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. They came with their containers and Jesus of water. Jesus performed his first miracle at the behest of his mother in response to her wanting things to be special. So much so that those that were there said, usually the host will bring out the worst wine first. Last, that is. But here, you have brought what is best out last. So, mother wanted things to be special. He has placed within her certain powers. So, certain powers that will bring healing instantaneously. With a kiss. Little kid mashes his finger, he come running to mama. And all she does is kisses the baby, don't cry, baby. And kisses all of a sudden, next thing he run around and at the kiss. That's the power that's within a mother to turn things around with a kiss, relieve the pain. back out there running and playing the game. Huh? As I look at, as we look at the 31st chapter of the book of Psalms, I mean of Proverbs, beginning with verse 15. And you'll understand how a godly mother has to be a superwoman. It says she riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her labor of her hand, she planted a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her cattle goes not out by night. While we were sleeping in bed, mother was still up. She laid her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. I remember down in our neighborhood, that was a pecan orchard down there. We would go to pick up the pecans on halves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the owner, the overseer of the place, designate where you're going to pick up at. You start over there. You start there. All right. So when we get back, the trees in that area had the big pecans in it. And then he's going to take that path and then say, now go back over there. And we go back over there. We come back with little pecans. You see. I say, wait a minute. There's something not right in this picture. So what we started to do, pick up the pecans, and we put so many in the bag, and that was a drain ditch there in the middle of the place that was heading out to the canal, and we just stashed them there. And we had that little mixed bag that we'd get back with. So you take half of the big one, you take half of the little. But when we got home, after we've gone out picking berries or pecans or whatever the case may be. And that was six of us in my family. Kids. The first thing she said, go divide it up. Go take this to Miss Mary. Go take this. She takes them all over the neighborhood. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Reaching out to those who had less than we had. It says she stretches out her hand to the poor, and yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Huh? She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and linen. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth as he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Ah, the sweetest voice one could hear. That of a mother. Now, one kid was asked one time, what are mothers made out of? What ingredients go into making a mother? The little kid said, there's art, language, letter says, kids say the darndest thing. They say, God made her out of the same kind of bones that we have, but only bigger. He said, and he put just a little meanness in her. There are times when mothers have to get away from just that little soft-spoken voice and speak with that little meanness. And go just a step further with the switches and the belts and what have you in order to put us back in line. See, that little streak of what the kids call meanness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Godly mothers are not lazy. The last one to come to bed at night, cooking the food, washing the dishes, putting the food up. Do you know if a price tag would put on the labor that a mother jobs that mothers perform, hey, and doing it for nothing, doing it because they love what they're doing, not just out of necessity, going to the grocery store, picking up the groceries, bringing it home, putting it up, cooking it, serving it, washing the dishes, and putting everything back together. We men couldn't afford it if we had to pay the price. And most of us, to be honest with you, we couldn't do it. Huh? No. So we want to make sure that we give and honor our mothers. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. We say we call them blessed. No, they are blessing us by all of the round of activities that they are engaged in. And I fear that most of us do not express as much as we should our thanks and appreciation for all that these superwomen are doing. I remember an old expression that says, men work from dusk to dawn, but a woman's job is never done. It's always something else to do. So her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also. We would say to the mothers in Berea, you are the epitome of Proverbs 31:29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The songwriter says, I have seen the rainbow circled across the sky. I have stood on a mountain and watched an eagle fly, but I haven't seen anything to match the wonders of a mother's love. I have stood by the rose bed and watched the leaves unfold. I have seen streams in the meadow flow till the morning die, but I haven't seen anything to match the wonders of a mother's love. So today, mothers in Berea, we salute you as being a superwoman, a mother of God. As we are admonished, many many daughters have done virtuously, but thou hast sold them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. We lift our voices in praise to the godly mothers in Berea. We salute you.